Welcome to the Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 21st on the West Coast. I think that means the summer solstice, and June the 22nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I think that means the day after the summer solstice. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network as well around the world, and hope you find tonight's show informative and inspirational, if nothing else. Boy, there's just so much news out there these days. A lot of continuing exposures of the financial fraud going on virtually around the world, and on the heels of what we've reported for a number of years, as well as what's been happening recently, we hear that the Bilderberger meeting was stopped halfway through. That now we haven't been able to verify this, but the story says that there were arrest warrants put out for certain individuals in the meetings, and they were tipped off that they were going to be arrested. The meeting was in St. Moritz, Switzerland, and that's a posh ski resort area. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. And they treat you like kings and queens there. And I guess that has a double meaning these days. Anyway, not much news has come out as to what they have planned. Now, amidst all that, we have all this fear being ratcheted up about radiation. And when we find out that there's radiation, we'll be happy to let you know on this show. There are some good researchers out there who are gathering some unique types of data that are confirming many of the things that we've said on the show. We touched on that a little bit last night with my guest, Dr. Atru Watt. Before we bring Michael Anthony on board, however, it's been a while since he's been on the show, I'm going to share some music. This is a trio featuring Jeff Berlin, who was on Evident Footprints a couple of months ago, and we're going to have him back this coming month. He's an extraordinary musician and musical arranger. I worked with him many years ago, and he's still doing it on the bass, one of the best in the world, and his rendition of I Want to Be Happy. I'm That is the Jeff Berlin Trio, I Want to Be Happy. I think everybody wants to be happy. I'm happy tonight, especially because of tonight's guest. He is an environmental scientist, a health consultant, chemist, herbalist, historian, and a musician, my good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Don. Good morning. Thanks. Great to be back.
How do you like that music?
Yeah, it's definitely lively, free spirit, Makes you feel good. It's a good title of the song.
Yeah, Jeff is quite a guy. I worked with him back in the early 1970s, and unfortunately, a couple of people that we worked with passed away some years ago, very unexpectedly, but it was nice to rekindle the friendship. You know, Jeff's worked with everybody in the music business.
Wow. Honestly,
everybody. He's quite a player.
And when was that recording done of the song we just heard?
He just did this at the outset of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I had him on the show a few months ago. I'm going to have him back on again for sure.
Sounds great.
He's always doing something different. He plays a lot like Jaco Pastorius.
Definitely.
In fact, Jeff ended up going to Florida. That's where Jaco went. Both of them came from the Northeast. Jeff is from Long Island, and Jaco is from New England. I think he's from Massachusetts originally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe Boston area, if I remember right.
Yeah. And I got to meet Jaco just after I was working with Jeff. That was interesting. Two of the best bass players in the whole world, you know.
Right. Yes.
But then shortly after that, he went to work for Weather Report.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow, cool, Don.
He went up to, this is Jaco now, he went up to Joe Zawinul, the leader of Weather Report, and he said, "I'm the baddest bass player in the world." And he said something to the effect of, you know how many times I've heard that? And he said, "No, I really am. You should hire me," you know. And he bugged him a few times. Eventually, he got to sit in with the band, and they hired him on the spot.
Sure. That's all it took.
Yeah, so Jeff is that kind of player. Jaco is a, you know, a little bit different guy, very unpredictable. Unfortunately, he died some years ago as well. The stress of the pharmaceutical cartel, we'll say.
Who's that, Don? Jaco did?
Jaco did, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they determined it was suicide, but...
Oh, geez.
You know. Isn't it always?
It sure is so common in that industry. What a shame. So much talent wasted like that.
Mm-hmm. And he made some fantastic recordings.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely well-known, well-respected. Definitely a bass man's bass player. There's no question about it.
Well, what have you been up to lately?
Well,
you don't have to tell me everything, just the juicy stuff.
Where do I start? Well, keeping it real busy, Don, for sure, this time of year, just getting into an early summer, trying to catch up with my gardening. I'm behind because of maize weather being really behind par for this time of year, and all my seedlings that I started from scratch off to a slow start. Catching up with that and some projects, of course, the music. Everything's going really good. Just been struggling to try to keep up with everything up to now. Now things are looking much better, catching up with things. So all in all, everything's good and still staying productive, very busy. And I've got to say, the Lord is good.
Well, that's great. I got to talk to a friend of mine who is living in the drought-stricken area of the Southwest, and he was
mm-hmm.
giving me a report on a method that we're using for him to grow his home garden and his crops. And the results he's getting in this area are just off the charts.
Does he have his own wells?
He's got his own well, but it's a delivery system that we designed, sort of incorporating some of the topics that we've discussed on the show into the design of it. Mm-hmm. And
as far as irrigation goes?
As far as delivering the water, we'll say.
to the crops.
Yes.
Yes.
And I basically, from the day that he planted the seeds, I told him how I was seeing the plants, you know. In other words, they're going to be unusually green, a much darker green than you're used to. He's not used any fertilizer, just putting water on it. But it's remarkable. In fact, the guy that sells him chemicals like the weed killer and the various fertilizers and stuff that most of the ranchers in his area are using was in awe at how his plants looked. And I asked him if he was asking anything about the soil or were there any anomalies that he noticed. And he said, well, in a few places, even though I used this guy's weed killer, you know, because we had a lot of weeds, and with this drought, the weeds were the only thing that were in the field, and we cleared as much of it as we could. When we started watering the soil, getting it to loosen up and what have you, before we went into planting, the weeds started taking off. He said, but when we started, after we had planted the seeds and we started using this new delivery system, it was phenomenal how quickly the plants came up, how well they're doing. And though there are a few weeds, he asked me what I thought the problem was. Why wasn't the weed killer working? And I said, well, it's a poison. And the way we're delivering the water to the crops, you're killing the poison. You're neutralizing it. And it's not able to impede in the life force energy that's going into the ground. And basically that's what this is all about. So it's really a positive result. And keep in mind, this is an area where there's drought.
Right. And I understand they're having a wicked drought out there in Texas. Maybe almost unprecedented in a long time, in fact. So I, a lot of sympathy for people experiencing that.
And then, you know, we've got another round of tornadoes and electrical storms, you know, threatening the Midwest again.
It's crazy weather. We're very lucky. I mean, all in all, for us here, we're really doing pretty good with the weather. We had extreme weather with super hot August-type weather, breaking 100 degrees for quite a few days straight. But unlike last year, which was persistent all summer like that, then it cools right off, cloudy, damp, and cool in the upper 60s. And but it's moderated finally, and we're more back into an in-season normal type of weather pattern right now. Hope it lasts a while. And so all in all, we're lucky right here, considering what's going on all around us. We're quite lucky. My fruit trees are just loaded. My peach trees are just laden with peaches, loaded. And I have to support branches because they're just incredibly loaded. And the fig trees and the grapes, all the fruit stuff looking fantastic. But the vegetables got off to a slow start. But the fruit, incredible. I haven't sprayed anything yet with my natural organic spray because I have my own food system that organic is so nourishing. Nothing really seems to bother the fruits, the trees, the leaves. And so I get away with not much spraying at all. And so all in all, for what's going on all around us with crazy weather, knock on wood, thank God. But right here, we're doing pretty good so far.
Now, have you noticed a change in the bees at all, or is it basically the same, the absence of a lot of bees?
Yes, Don. Right now, in this location, all bees. All bees, not just honeybees, yellow jackets, wasps, all the bumblebees. We're not seeing anything around here. I've got a lot of flowering activity and really no bees. I'm trying to pull them in, and I eventually will, because last year was the same way, but I eventually pulled some in and with honey. But right now, in this immediate vicinity, No bees. We got cell microwaves, cell towers around here quite a bit. That's got to be a major factor.
I'm going to add something to that part of the equation, too, because it appears to me that a lot of this weather is artificial. Now, a lot of people are going to jump to conclusions and say, oh, well, they're running HAARP. I'm not saying whether they are or they aren't, but I can tell you that there's a lot of stuff going on in space. There is a lot going on in space, and it's creating a lot of the weather. So if they're able to manipulate weather like this, get the atmosphere heated up and produce these superstorms in less than a minute, and this is what's been repeatedly described taking place in Nebraska and Oklahoma, Tennessee, Missouri, and even Arkansas. Something is up. Now, when you think about the Missouri River and this push to create more fear over nuclear power plant failures, you know, isn't anyone paying attention? Are these things to set to self-destruct on call, or did they plan this, or is this just hype? Are they getting ready for another false flag? But I don't mean to go off on a tangent. These are the stories, you know, you're hearing about in the alternative media. The flooding is the story, the flooding of the Missouri River. Now, I'm not saying it's not flooding, but they could relieve some of that downstream. But they're talking about it breaking the dams, overflowing the dams, having a tsunami on the Missouri River. Now, if you were truly concerned about that, wouldn't you be doing something to prevent that?
There's a lot to that story that doesn't add up. That's for sure. And it seems like, based on all the reports that we're getting, that it's a setup. It's a setup for a catastrophe. And
they're running an exercise about, you know, that kind of catastrophe.
Yeah, Don. Another 9/11 scenario, false flag type scenario. I mean, it's very clear that this seems to be going on out there. And I, again, feel very sorry for those people along that Missouri River from Nebraska through Idaho, Iowa. And there's some nuclear power plants along that line, apparently on faults as well. It's just ridiculous that our government is going through such procedures. I mean, if the dams are really having a lot of pressure build up from so much water, then you think they would bleed it off, you know, in advance so that there's no real flooding. Mm-hmm. Now, is it that much water building up so quick that they have to actually flood out everything below? Can anybody verify that they've been getting that much rain and snow melt off up in the Montana area that justifies the dams really being under that kind of pressure where they have to go through with such an extreme measure to relieve that pressure to prevent any damage? I haven't heard anybody verify that. And so that's what makes this seem like a farce and most likely a setup. And that really does annoy me, to say the least, because besides flooding out a lot of land, farmland, inconveniencing so many people off their private property, you've got the nuclear potential hazards. It's
earthquakes.
It's outrageous. There's no accountability as usual, and let's pray over time as this that it'll resolve itself in a nice, peaceful manner, and there won't be any negative incidents that could cause severe problems for a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
And maybe the rest of the country if the nuclear plants get really impacted. It's just, you know, after Japan and now this, it doesn't make sense that it's really a natural phenomenon. It just doesn't.
And then you got to throw in there Planet X, the Anunnaki, You might as well throw Elanine in there. You know.
And Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus and now they're changing the story. This is after the Vatican, an intelligence agent. This was a Jesuit intelligence agent for the Vatican, who gave to Cristoforo Barbato in Italy, and it was presented to Project Camelot for an interview they were doing, a photo, a close-up shot. You know, it was like something from Star Wars when they're showing they're in the vicinity of a new planet. Imagine a planet like Jupiter, and you're just outside the atmosphere, and you're getting sort of a profile of maybe one quarter of the planet, and which is very suspicious anyway. Well, it's just a round ball. It could have been Jupiter, you know.
Sure.
Or any other planet. But it was allegedly taken from the Cassini telescope. That was the one they were considering, or at least the rumor was out there, that they were going to crash it into Saturn.
Right.
And cause a big event, you know.
Yes.
A big wow moment. Well, in that interview, it was discussed that was Planet X. They had found it. Now,
wow.
Why weren't those photos shown to anyone else? Right? I mean, it came out in that video, and I looked at that, and I said, man, is that ever fake? I mean, come on. It looked like something out of a Spielberg or George Lucas movie. And or, you know, the Star Trek episodes, where you hear the theme music playing, and then they're sort of just gliding past this planet. Well,
right.
You know, it's so fraudulent.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's to sell the story. They have to show the picture. Oh,
well,
the Vatican is in the space business.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I believe they call this they had a term for this as Project Lucifer, which is very strange coming from the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And no explanation to that one. But nonetheless, that was reported to be their project called Lucifer with this Cassini incident with Jupiter.
Now,
and
if we were able to find it, shouldn't NASA, shouldn't the EU space agency, shouldn't even, the International Space Station be able to get shot to that?
Absolutely, Don. And in addition to that, all the reports from people claiming that it's on its approach, it's causing the erratic solar events on the sun, because bottom line is the sun is clearly still acting very strange. What's causing that? To be determined. Some say that it's this Planet X or the comet Elene and all that. But if that was really true at this point in time, if there was such a gravitational or electromagnetic influence of this extreme nature at this point in time, then the proximity of these objects should be close enough that somebody should be seeing it by now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what doesn't add up on that story. Just doesn't add up.
Well, the world was supposed to have ended, was it last month, on the 21st? That day came and went. Oh, and now that's been revamped. Oh,
there you go.
Now that's going to be October. Yeah, let's get that out there. That was a good one. When are they going to kill Osama bin Laden the fifth time?
They'll kill him the fifth time when Obama presents his fifth birth certificate, I believe, Don. Yeah, but clearly strange activities with the weather, the sun clearly being influenced by something. I don't know if it's really physical or if it's something more ethereal, which is my take on what's going on with the sun and the
it's happening to the whole galaxy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well,
not just
well,
our sun.
I believe that, but the solar system for sure. We know the solar system is undergoing some kind of crazy upheavals with climate and also seismic activity, earthquake and volcanic. And so now they could, all the planets clearly are under the influence of our sun, our star. And that sun is acting in an incredibly erratic fashion. Supposedly the science are baffled. They don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know how true that is either. I believe many of them do know what's going to happen, but they won't tell us. And my take so far on all my observations is, and as we covered it in the past on this particular topic, that I believe that the sun is going through a transition itself, and everything will be impacted from that transition in a beneficial way. Mm-hmm. And I think they're trying to prepare for that to protect their own skins, because when this transition finalizes, the changes will be so dramatic that a lot of negative energy will somehow be terminated, will no longer be enabled to operate in this realm, like a lifting up or a raising of the energies to a higher vibratory rate where such lower energies just can't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
sort of
and,
like an ascension.
Yeah, you could definitely say that, because there's new radiations that are finer and more energized than previous, and that's been monitored since the 50s, and they're keeping that quiet. And it's not just solar, but it is cosmic radiations as well, coming from deep space. So it is a big change going everywhere, Don. That does confirm your statement, your previous statement. And and these radiations are much finer, much higher in energy, and they will penetrate the crust of the planet, and so their underground cities that they've established, I believe, to hide from this is no longer viable for them, and they know that. And so I would just recommend for everybody, obviously, crazy stuff's going on weather-wise, whether it's all man-made or part of it's man-made and a lot of it's nature. I would trust that a lot of it is nature, because there's a transition. Something natural is going on here that's going through a transition. And I believe that all we need to do is, instead of fearing it, is just be in tune with it, so that as the transition unfolds, we're in harmony with it. And whatever sweeping changes come about from this transition, we will be on the top of the wave, not on the bottom of that wave, because we're in harmony with it.
That's and like a waxa on, waxa off.
That's basically it. Just be in tune, be in flow with it, use your energies creatively and constructively and productively, and spiritually be in tune with creation through nature, and be good in every respect that you can. Go out of your way, even though it's inconvenient, to help somebody or something that needs some help. Whatever it takes to just keep generating good, positive energies towards everything in your environment, and you will be in harmony. You'll be on the top of that wave as it comes crashing in, because it seems to be inevitable that it's not in a too distant future when this crash happens.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean as a transition.
Now, there, I can tell you that there's a lot of truth coming out, okay? A lot of truth is revealing itself in a very natural process to those who are seeking it. And so the fear mongers have to create more stories to preoccupy people, to keep their attention focused on all these imaginary antagonists coming from space. Here are the people that are saying that they're looking for intelligent life out there, and the best they can come up with are rogue planets that are on a mission to destroy this place. Planets and satellites have been hit. I say satellites, meaning like moons of other planets within a particular planet's orbit. They have been struck by comets and meteorites and Lord knows what else. I'm sure many craft have crashed. Now, where do all these thousands and thousands, even millions of craft come from? And
that's the question.
They're out there. That's the secret that they don't want known. They're out there, and there is an attempt right now going on. The reason we're experiencing all these things, those that thought they were in total control of this planet and ran it by fear and ignorance, and a reward and punishment system.
In a very selfish, greedy manner, they ran world.
They can't even compete with these beings. Okay.
No. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, sure. They're just low level losers next to the higher powers that are in concert with the Almighty's will to restore everything to a much more perfect level of habitation in this world. And so, yes, at our level, they seem powerful and great, but in the scheme of things, they're just low-level losers, and they know that now. And they're panicking, Don, because they know their time is short.
Yeah. Well, they've tried to bargain too many times. They bargained for technology, and all they know how to do is use it or apply it to making war and killing millions of innocent people for no reason other than to profit from it financially.
Well, yes, Don, that's the financial end of it. But the other main reason why they want to wipe out the population so severely is because they want to utilize all these advanced technologies just for themselves. They're that pathetically selfish and greedy. They can't allow these technologies to flourish now with the level of the population there is on this planet, because once civilians get their hands on free energy sources where you can drive your car or build your house off a grid and not require their energy sources to be productive, we're going to be so independent from them. We can break away fully from their system that they have us trapped in right now, clearly. That this is the ultimate reason why they're trying to depopulate, because they want these technologies utilized for their own benefit, but they can't allow it out yet because we will get our hands on it. There's so many of us now. We will totally break away from them. They will lose total control over us. Their schemes for their globalist agenda will collapse, and this is what has them very, very nervous, because we're getting closer to where there's so much out there with technologies that people want to offer this world to get us off the grid, to get us away from petroleum nonsense, primitive technologies. And they can only keep that cat in the bag or that genie in the bottle for a little while longer.
Well, I think it's already out. I think they're just trying to pretend like like it's not, you know.
That's right.
Pays little attention. Discredit the messengers as much as possible and let the chips fall where they may. Well, you know, taking out a few truth seekers who are revealing this shouldn't be a threat to them if they're so all powerful. But their financial house of cards is collapsing. They use every event. All these events are twisted in some obscene way to create fear. Oh, now we have to go buy iodine. We have to have these pills here. We have to do this. We have to do that.
And don't forget your bird flu shots.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you're going to have the epidemic. And they're intentionally ruining the food supplies. They're killing millions, if not billions, of fish and animals with all the pollution and all their Ponzi schemes. And it's just, let's just keep it going. Let's do this and see how much money we can make. Okay, we've got a new idea. Let's do this. Somebody came up with this idea. Yeah, let's start taking down the nuke plants. Now, when they shut these down, how are people going to get electricity? You see, it's going to put people in a primitive state.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of owning all this technology, consumer versions of technology. They won't be able to do anything unless they have a generator. And then eventually the fuels that run the generators won't be available. You see?
You only get a couple weeks out of that and it's over.
It's all by design. And all under the hoax, the lie that that we don't have natural resources. It makes you wonder how much of this stuff, how much oil do you think they're taking up to Mars? for example. We know they're on Mars. We know
yes,
that.
They are, Don. But
and the moon.
Of course, yeah. I agree with that 100% based on all the evidence that I've acquired, and I shared it with you over the years. And I've been still delving into it further, Don. And I'm absolutely, I mean, there's no questioning that they've had anti-gravity with free energy devices using electromagnetic techniques to generate anti-gravity propulsion. And the speeds that they can achieve are phenomenal. They can zip anywhere they want. And the photos are just never ending. I've acquired a whole bunch more I'll have to share with you, Don, to add to the library of proof. Just stunning photos, all going back to the 40s under Nazi Germany alone with what they developed under the various technologies, Schauberger, the Meath, the Vril, the Hanabus, all the various models. It's stunning stuff. And how they acquired it as well is even more stunning, as I've just recently learned, because as it turns out, and we've covered this briefly in recent shows, that I've found that this technology, we know about UFO reports at the turn of the 20th century, prior just at the end of the 1800s, and yet into the 20s, through Germany and secret societies, they were already pursuing these technologies. And at first I thought it was just terrestrial technique, but as it turns out, no, it was supernatural techniques. They were already through these women mediums, like her name was Sigrun, and there was also Maria Orsic, and there was another girl too. And they belonged to the Virils. They were acquired by the secret society called Viril in the 20s because of their extraordinary mediumship ability, and they were in communication with what they believed to be entities on the star system Aldebaran. Now, I don't know how accurate all that is. This is how it's all relayed to us today. Now, as far as I know, could have been entities within the Hollow Earth claiming to be.
Well, there's there's a lot of interest in an Antarctic base recently. You may have heard about that.
Absolutely, Don.
Okay.
Absolutely.
They're
it's big time.
Yeah, they and this is an alien base. So
there's something there that is causing our government tremendous interest and governments around the world, and it's all quarantined. No civilian is allowed to enter any of that perimeter, and it's many square miles closed off, quarantined. Mm-hmm. Now, what's going on there? What's the reason for that? Now, some will say, well, it's because the Nazis established a base there and they're just keeping tabs on them, and that's legitimate too. However, is that all there is to it? No, of course not. There's something. Why are the Nazis there? What drove them to establish a base? If it's just a chunk of ice, it doesn't make any sense. Something else is going on.
They were probably in contact with that group.
Absolutely. They through their.
He probably funded it, you see, through the money that they were funneling through
sure.
the Wall Street banks.
Yep, Fritz Thiessen and the Rockefellers and Prescott Bush through the Union Bank and Brown Brothers, but the Nazis had their occult department, the Anunnaki, who went to Tibet and were doing extensive work in Tibet, and I believe through the contacts in Tibet and what they learned, that drove them to Antarctica for sure, Don. And
yeah.
And they established a base there because there is something very special there in Antarctica that has nothing to do with frozen ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about that on some past shows, too. It bears repeating for new listeners that the Montauk, Long Island base was a U-boat base. And I had people write into me after my Scherf article came out telling me they were a little girl or a little boy at that time during the war, and at night these U-boats would come up for some fresh air.
Yes.
And it was like a forest of antennas.
That's right. It's been reported. It was reported that way, in fact, in some of Peter Moon's work to substantiate that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's intriguing is with the Anunnaki of that occult department of the Nazis, they were into all the metaphysics, the supernatural, the occult, and Atlantis in particular, of course, was the center of their focus. And so Long Island at Montauk happens to be a remnant of the ancient Atlantean continent. Long Island itself is a dormant volcano. It's protruding right up from the ocean floor. It's off a submerged continent.
Now, I don't know if you've been listening to my show recently, but I did a couple of shows this past week where I revealed, I've shown these photos to Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone and a few other people. I scoured the Atlantic Ocean floor. I went intuitively to a particular spot and located some interesting artifacts on the bottom of the ocean. Pyramids.
Such as? Yeah. What area?
Well, there's two major areas. Now, I've scanned the whole of the Atlantic, and I can say that Edgar Cayce, whose readings I researched after I found these photos, I wanted to see what he said about this. Michael, I went to one spot. It's closer to let's say Europe than it is. It's on the way to Gibraltar. Okay, it's closer to Europe than it is the United States, and that was the first place I went. And you know how Google Earth is. I mean, when you look at the water, as soon as you start going in, you know, trying to look deeper into the ocean, the pictures get blurred. And if you can see anything, it's all airbrushed out. Okay? Uh-huh. It's in no way a representation of an actual satellite photo in terms of revealing what's in the bottom of the ocean. This is nothing but a video game as far as I'm concerned. But they couldn't mask everything out for some reason, or they left it in there thinking nobody would find it. As I'm approaching the lowest level, I'm within a couple of hundred feet, eye level we're talking. I'm already at sea level, and eye level, I'm approaching 26 feet, which is the cutoff point of the program, which is really ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And the word Atlantis Seamount appears.
Where?
In on the ocean floor. I've got pictures of it.
In English?
In English. And then just a few in the area, and I would say it's within some miles. I don't have an exact scale, let's say, to measure that, but what a few of us are doing is measuring the land as much as we can in terms of how much area it takes up on the screen, and you go to that area and then calculate off that first measurement of the land, and to give you an idea, because when you're on the bottom of the ocean, you have no idea how close you really are to what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of bogus how they show it to you. So we're making estimations based comparing it to positions on the computer screen, which is the most logical way. If they give you a legend to follow, it's going to be on the screen. So why can't you make your own? So a few of us started doing that. And so it's within some miles, let's say 10 to 20 miles, Plato Seamount. Now, Plato had written about Atlantis, and of course, any accounts of Plato's writing or any accounts of Atlantis or the mythical lost continent of Atlantis.
Yes.
Now, there's another area like this, and Michael, you would flip out. There are pyramids designed in geometric shapes themselves as how they're laid out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Lots of them. I don't mean three of them like you see in Egypt, at Giza. This is quite remarkable what's there. And
yes,
they have them disguised through airbrushing, as cones, like there's some kind of, and these are inverted cones, you know, it's intended to make them look like mini volcanoes. Yet these are quite they're quite large. And what I did is I took a snap of it. I took a screenshot, and then I changed the exposure of the picture, and suddenly what appears to be a cone with a white tip on the end now suddenly has a tetrahedron shape. And they're pyramids.
Right.
Tons of them.
Yes.
Okay. Now, near off the southeast coast of Nova Scotia, there's another area there. And then this basically runs, it appears to run across the ocean massively in a concentrated area toward Cuba, towards the west end of Cuba, and right. up to Gibraltar. Now, that's exactly what Edgar Cayce had said.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, there was a major discovery off the coast of Cuba just roughly maybe 4 years ago already, perhaps five. And it's been really hush-hush ever since. And supposedly some Russian archaeologist divers made a major find off Cuba, huge ancient civilization, as far as an advanced-looking city, very, very extensive, like you were describing, lots of pyramids showing high, very high-end civilization capabilities. And everything's been very hush-hush over these years now, instead of where everyone was hoping that more would come out and leak out into the public. But it's been very hush-hush. And I'm sure that it's legitimate discovery. I believe that the submerged continent of Atlantis is in the Atlantic Ocean. That's why it's called the Atlantic Ocean to this mm-hmm. very day. Atlantic ends in the sea. And in the old days, a C could be pronounced as an S.
Yes, the Atlantis.
And, I mean, where did that come from? Because the ancients knew. It's been part of our history ever since then.
And it's been hidden from us. The moderns know this, too.
Now, right in front of our face, it's been hidden. I mean, we call it Atlantic Ocean, as in Atlantis. And yet, it escapes everybody's awareness. And yeah. it's right in our face.
Right in the area where it says Atlantis Seamount, and there are other seamounts there, there is a figure I blurted out on the show with Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. It's sort of like the Pillsbury Doughboy, if you look at this thing. And then later I said it's more like Gumby from Gumby and Pokey. It's a representation of a human lying on the ocean floor, and the head is turned sideways as if it had been looking straight up. You see two huge almond-shaped black eyes and a big mouth. And to me, it looks like they were flying craft into that mm-hmm. area. Okay.
Very interesting. Don, can you provide us, Don, with any of the pictures that from your observations on this?
Yeah, I'm doing a write-up on this, and I'm doing some crops, and I'm trying to make the pictures visible. It takes up the whole of my screen, and the average person is not going to be able to see this entire picture in one shot. So okay. I'm going to break it up into sections, but you'll see the markers on it. Then the next day, I went and found Lemuria. I scanned the whole of the Pacific Ocean three times and rediscovered again and again and again the first discoveries that I had made. I started in one particular place where I know there's an underwater base in the Philippine Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This base most likely has something to do with what's gone on in Japan. I have no doubt about it. And it's an alien base.
And there's been a lot of reports of a lot of crazy activity there in the Philippine Solomon Islands.
Mm-hmm. And
Steve Quayle's been one of the guys really out there discussing that. And Steve's accuracy for a lot of stuff has been questionable. But nonetheless, he did raise a lot of interesting points. And if it's all true, it would confirm, Don, and further substantiate what you're saying here about that area.
Well, I've got pictures. So,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't.
There's definitely a lot of huge pyramids in that area found on the ocean floor right up to Japan.
Thousands and thousands of pyramids. In fact, you see something that looks, if you didn't know better, you would think somebody bought one of these foam rubber mattresses in one of the nickel and dime outlets.
They're that proliferated there, huh? Yeah.
Like, well, you have a mattress and you take your sheets off and you put this pad up on it and it's supposed to turn it into a $1,000 mattress, you know.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. It makes sense, Don, that there's such a large, incredible volume of these structures strewn about, not only on the ocean floor from submerged continents, but even still on the surface of many continents all around the world. And it wasn't just for visual aesthetics that they constructed these huge geometries. It was because the geometries itself served as an energy grid, and a very unique energy grid.
And exactly.
And in those ancient times, with civilization in the Golden Age period, because these civilizations like Atlantis, they endured for thousands and thousands of years, not just 1,000 like the Roman Empire, but thousands and thousands, millennia. So they had a huge Golden Age for a long time. And in that peak era, they had such an incredible energy grid. They were in harmony with everything, all the natural forces of nature, that they were amazing, very amazing with what they were able to do. And we're just on the fringe technology-wise of what they were capable of doing. And they were more advanced, because there was no pollution. Their type of computer technologies were not involved with poisons to make their computerized devices like we do today with a semiconductor chip. They were incredible how they employed crystals alone.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely indication that the whole continent was assailed by a force. Today we would say some sort of a scalar energy, a very advanced system that was capable of flattening the whole thing, just like that bridge a few years ago in Minnesota. You remember the I-35 bridge?
Yes.
How it just fell like a pancake straight down. Okay? And that was captured on a video by a security camera that was off to the side. The thing is standing up. The next second, the whole thing flat like a pancake. It wasn't a crumbling sensation.
It wasn't a gradual breakdown of the structure due to age or neglect. It was clearly something seemed to strike it, and suddenly, bam, it was flattened right out.
You know, because many of these artifacts that show up, and there's a tremendous amount of masking going on in the Pacific, you can see whole areas of what appear to be major cities, bigger than any on the surface. And, you know, they make them look like these little lumps. They just airbrush it, smooth it out, round it off at the top. All the pyramids are viewable if you capture the picture and then brighten it up. It's amazing. You just hit auto level, and instantly you can see the triangular sides of these pyramids. Mm-hmm. And they're using crystal technology. You can see that. Now, that's both
right.
In the Atlantic Ocean and in the Pacific Ocean. You can see that. Now, why hide that from us? That's the big question.
Well, because, Don,
everything else in secret.
Because
right?
It will totally destroy their supposed history of this planet that they've taught us in our public fool systems about, you know, we were primitive cavemen and now we're evolved to the smartest, greatest human beings ever walking the planet. And that will shatter all that as a big lie that it is. Mm-hmm. And that's why they got to cover it up, Don. And of course, it will bring us to more conversations, discussions about, because they were so advanced with technology and how they utilized it, that will cause us more in the civilian perspective to investigate and to get it, bring it out to the surface, to the awareness of the average person out there. And again, it will cause a revolution in technology for us, and they don't want that to happen. They can't allow that to happen.
Yeah, they want the meter to keep running.
That's right.
You know?
If they want it so that when they pull the plug on energy, we shut right down. Mm-hmm. That we're done for. That's how they have to have it. And so far, they do have it that way. But God willing, we're going to turn tables on these dirtbags and finally establish real freedom for all of us so that we can live and be super productive without any kind of pollution at all, without any great expense at all. So everyone out there working and busting their butt to make a living can enjoy the fruits of their labor without it getting stolen every month through the utility bills that these racketeers have us trapped in with their system, because they control it all the energy, mm-hmm. everything. And so your communication, the media, they control it all. And whatever you're earning, you got to give it to them at the end of the month through all these ridiculous utility bills and insurance bills and all that nonsense.
Well, you know, they've hoodwinked society for 13,000 years on this planet, the past 13,000 years. And there have been other civilizations on this planet much further back than that. I mean, you know, listen to the lies they taught us in school. You know, Xanthropus man and, you know, all the cavemen. Where did these guys come from? How did they get here, you know? If they were here millions of years ago, I'm not saying they weren't. The point is, where did they go?
The point is, how do they fit in with the scheme of mankind's evolution? And instead of rising up out of the swamps and becoming, you know, grunts with their knuckles dragging on the ground, and then finally being erect and talking in a civilized manner with culture and all the arts and sciences all of a sudden springing up everywhere, they were actually the remnants of a catastrophe where the great civilizations got destroyed. Because when you have powerful technologies like they had, unfortunately, when it gets into the wrong hands, major destruction will come about. And that's a lesson we have to learn very quickly today, because we still have major technologies of potential destruction, even though it's a more primitive form. But they have advanced it to the point where they could destroy this whole planet too. And we have to make sure that such disasters do not happen anymore. But these so-called cavemen and Cro-Magnons and all that, these Neanderthals, they were actually the remnants, the de-evolved remnants after so many generations of this great civilizations. And that's why they were trying to recreate tools and parts of their culture, like for example, shaving. You know, they were trying to make razors out of bones. Why? Because they had really good razors, and in their memory, they knew their ancestors had really good razors. Their great, 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 uncle, grandpa, they used to shave with a metallic razor blade, and they couldn't industrially manufacture that anymore. So they had to simulate it the best they could using what they had with the primitive conditions they were in, and they took bones and tried to shave it down into a razor. And that explains why they had an urge to try to shave, or even the manner of dress. They keep it all quiet from the public, but there's a lot of evidence that they even were dressing like we do today. Very civilized, very cultured, elaborate dress, suit types, dresses, all that, much like, so similar to today, Don. And and of course, since everything is cyclic, that it makes sense that we're mimicking the way it was back then. It's our psychic memory that never dies from our ancestry. And we know that that was how it was. And we're trying to restore that. Naturally, it's the natural desire of our being to try to advance our civilization, to make us more civilized, to make us more cultured, more perfect, instead of just a grunt walking around dragging knuckles on the ground. And that's where it all emanates from. And they don't want us to know that.
Yeah, the truth that's coming out today, you can take the average past 40, 50 years ago school student, and they can figure out that things aren't the way they said they were. I mean, you know, they were telling us these things to convince us to buy into this thing about evolution, survival of the fittest, I think, occurs in nature, but nature is creative. It's by nature, it's not destructive, it's creative. And everything they do is destructive. So they had to sell us on, well, man came about, he's related to the monkey, okay? That's why they made the movie Planet of the Apes. They had the monkeys ruling the planets. They knew the monkeys were smarter than us because they didn't buy the story. They stayed monkeys. I'm saying here on this planet.
Right.
You know, so it's sort of a pun. The movie's a you know,
sure.
A it's on words.
Absolutely. And again, trying to deny us our spiritual nature, our spiritual heritage, our presence.
Our birthright.
That's correct. Our mere presence is due to a powerful being that created all of this, and they don't want to acknowledge that. They make sure they keep us in the dark on that so they can control us and keep us trapped in a material dimension and shut us down with our spiritual senses that will truly keep us independent or at least self-sufficient once we discover that we're really divine beings.
You know, they've even metered God. They've put a meter on God. It's called organized religion. Okay?
Sure.
So.
Sure, absolutely so right.
You're not hearing the truth there about our true nature. Because if, and it's all this identification with ego and the physicality and the mind, and that there's some event, some miraculous event that none of them can explain other than talking about a cloud. We don't even have clouds today. We've only got chemtrails. So that story's lost any validity. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. They want to control our spirituality so that we never really discover how amazing we are by design, that we don't need any middlemen, that our creator wants us to have a rapport with him one-on-one directly, and they don't want us to discover that because then they lost. I mean, they lost their cushy job because it's just another political power base where, right, there's a lot of money generated through religions, tons of money, just like any other business, any other enterprise. It's a racket.
Keeping us sick and the whole nine yards.
That's right. It's just another racket, Don. And so they are covering up God's real activity. They in the Catholic or Christian approach in the Western world, they've got a lot of people duped into thinking, you know, that we're here and there's no explanation really why we're here, but we all die and go to heaven as long as we're just good. And of course, that just throws everybody off the track, and they never understand that we're here because we have to experience our individuality and try to cultivate it so that we can express it in such a constructive, productive way that the creator that made us can establish his perfect will in this world.
Yeah.
And once that happens, then everything's going to be beautiful again like it was in ancient times when mankind did operate like that. And they don't want us to understand that at all because we will be totally uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm. And they can't think of a false flag to bring us back once we reach that level of consciousness. Michael,
that's
we're
right,
out of time, I have to say. It's been a pleasure having you back on the show and exciting to talk about what's occurring in the universe. And your message is a positive one. And we keep telling people, just take responsibility.
That's right.
Look within. You can look at nature. You can go out into nature and be a participant with nature, and you get free lessons from nature
all the time
as to how to do it and what to
do. And they're free lessons.
Yeah. There's no meter on it.
Yeah, that's right. You just got to put the time in to observe, to be patient and observe. And Don, if I can real quick, and it's been a pleasure to be back on your show, and I thank you. I had a lot of fun. Great conversation. At least I enjoyed it. And just recently, just for some observations as I've been sharing with people about nature, as spring unfolded and I have a lot of bird activity around here, a a great habitat I've cultivated over the years, so tons of birds. And sure enough, as they had the chicks hatch and everything, now I'm observing as I'm working outside and I'm hanging out, and I'm observing, for example, when the chicks are flying around, they're ready to get out of the nest and start to explore. What do I see? I see the mom leading the chicks around, showing them where to go to eat, then where to go for the water, showing them around where potential threats could be. And it's very clear how orderly it is. And then I noticed then these other birds came in, these blackbirds, and the male shows up first. He scouts around, makes sure everything's cool, then sends a signal. All of a sudden, the mom shows up with the chicks. She shows them where to go to eat, where to get to water. And there's a dad standing aloof, observing everything, keeping an eye out, protecting. And I tell everybody, I said, now, I didn't see two females come out with chicks showing them around. I didn't see two male birds come out with chicks showing them around. Nature has it very orderly, a male, a female. They know their roles. They assume tremendous responsibility over those chicks, even though they're supposedly just little creatures, primitive creatures with no souls, showed a lot of intelligence. And it's all readily discernible if you just look, and you'll see that how orderly nature is and constructive and so family oriented. And so everybody has to realize that, and don't buy into all this social engineering crap that they're trying to shove down us. Here in New York State, they're trying to pass a law to let homos get married. It's incredible. And it's going to disrupt nature, in man's relationship with nature, so severely if we tolerate such nonsense, that God himself will have to step in and put us in check in a very, a very disastrous manner.
If that does happen, like they would like it to, then the next edition of the Bible, we'll have the begin with the story of Adam and Steve.
Yeah, there you go,
Michael. We got to say goodnight.
Okay, Don, you take care, pal.
And when I get my American heterosexual flag reproduced as one, I'll send it there, and you can fly it for the birds.
Thanks, Don.
Letting them know you recognize their wisdom.
That's right. The natural order of Mother Nature. That's right, pal.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, Michael. I'll have you on for sure this coming month. Man, can you believe we're already, you know, moving through another month here, just a few more days left.
It is incredible. Time is zipping by. And I look forward to the next show, Don. Thank you. God bless now.
All right, you too. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at bbsradio.com, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest on Wellness Wednesday will be Dr. Wayne Pickering. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.